You may be seated. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to be in there. We'll start there today. And while you're looking for 1 Corinthians 12, let me pray for us. Father, again, we just thank you that we're here and we're in your presence. Father, we ask that you speak to us today through all of these passages that we look at. You have a word, you have a message for us today from these passages. And so, Lord, speak to us. And as always, we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us because we know that as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move and have his way. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to do just that. Amen. Well, last week we looked at several passages so I could teach you a new way to use Scripture as a tool. Today we're going to look at several passages again, but so we can build theology, which is how I tend to normally do things. We're going to build some theology today. We just came past Halloween, and I thought it would be appropriate to revisit this message. There's a lot of activity in the spirit realm centered around the Halloween holiday, if we can call it a holiday. So it occurs to me that we might do well to know what's going on in the demonic realm and what it's up to during this time. You see, God gave the church this gift of knowing what the demonic realm is up to. Sadly, this gift is forgotten, seldom used, and some don't even think it's necessary. This gift is almost never taught or talked about, and the church as a whole is suffering because of it. So today I want to talk about this gift, and we'll really dive into it. Start with 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and the verse goes on a little bit more. Have you ever really wondered what this means, why this is in the Bible, to another distinguishing between spirits? Like, they're just stopping me like, hey, what is this? Why is this here? Well, that's what we want to do today. This list here, it's a long list of spiritual gifts that are in 1 Corinthians 12 and also Romans 12, where Paul is wanting us to understand and operate in these gifts. Now, the church tends to focus on gifts like healing and prophecy and words of knowledge and tongues because those are the popular and sought-after gifts. Pardon my language, but those are the sexy gifts, right? But what about this gift? What about distinguishing between spirits? I think it's just as important as the others. We are in a spiritual battle slash war, and we need to know what the other side is up to. So let's start by asking some questions of this gift. Let's start by asking, okay, so why do we need this gift? Why did God give us this gift of discerning spirits? Well, for one, this gift blows the lid off what the devil is doing and planning. Now, I want to look at several different scriptures to again, build a theology for why we need this gift. See, we're not going to take this gift serious until we understand why we need it. All right? 2 Corinthians 11:14, Stephen. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. That should be sobering. The devil is pretending to be something good. We need to be able to discern what is what and which is which. Which is which? Is this an angel or is this Satan? Satan is out there trying to deceive us by pretending to be something good. And we better be able to figure out which is which, right? Here's another one. 1 John 4:1, Stephen. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Wait. That must mean there's more than one spirit. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You think God's trying to tell us something here? Hey, guys, there's more than one spirit. You better be careful. You better test it. You better know what you're doing. John doesn't talk about this in terms of a gift like we see in 1 Corinthians 12, but he does tell us to discern spirits. First, John talks about recognizing that not every spirit is from God. And then second, he says not every prophet is from God. Uh-oh. Some of those YouTube people aren't really prophets? Oh, boy. We better be able to know which is which. This command of John speaks to the need to discern spirits. Now, the call to discern spirits is for all of us, not just those with the gift. I want to make this really, really clear. Some will have this as a gift, 1 Corinthians 12. But we're all called to this. Do you see that? Some have it as a gift, but we're all called to it. So no one gets to be like, well, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have that gift. John is calling all of us. John wrote this when he was living in Ephesus, managing a whole bunch of churches. And he wrote this to the churches that he was overseeing, telling all those churches, hey, you better discern spirits. You better know what's going on. So this is a word for our day, even if you don't have the gift. I continue, Stephen. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Isn't that interesting? So the Antichrist is a spirit that's been in the world since the time of the apostles. Which means we can stop trying to figure out which politician is the Antichrist. Right? Everyone's like, oh, this politician, that they're the Antichrist. Antichrist was here when John was writing, in the days of the apostles. Okay? But we need to be able to discern what that spirit is doing, and that's why John is giving us this command, this charge. Hey, discern spirits, right? We all need to heed this call from John. Now, here's another one concerning this question of why we need this gift. 1 Timothy 4:1, Stephen. The Spirit clearly says that in 2025, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Uh-oh. We can see that the enemy likes to work in secret and in hidden ways, right? But these are the days that we're living on. These are deceiving spirits out there right now, and there are demons who are teaching. There are demons that are teaching. Do you know which ones they are? This should be sobering because this is happening in our day because we've lost sight of this gift and this warning that John gives us. We need to be able to discern what is a demon and what is the deceiving spirit and what is not and what is actually a move of God, right? And there are people like, oh, we don't need this gift. To the people that say we don't need this gift, explain this to me then. When Jesus tells the parable of the wheat and the weeds in Matthew, he tells us that the enemy sows wheat seeds while everyone was sleeping to emphasize the hidden nature of what the enemy does. So again, we need to be able to distinguish what the enemy is doing. We can see that the enemy likes to work in secret and hidden ways, but these few scriptures should make it clear why we need this gift of distinguishing between spirits. Having said that, I think this is the most neglected and the most misunderstood gift in Scripture. And the church is paying a high price for not having this gift in operation. But when you think about it, it makes sense. The enemy doesn't want to be discovered, right? So he will push against this gift more than any other. Here's the thing that I find fascinating. Most spiritual gift assessments don't even include this gift. I've looked at hundreds of spiritual gift assessments. They never mention the gift of discerning spirits. But they all have the gift of hospitality, which is never mentioned in Scripture. People who operate in this gift can blow the lid off of what the enemy is doing. This gift is so misunderstood that many people with this gift don't know what is happening to them. There was a woman that had joined our church many years ago, and she had this gift, but she didn't know it. Everybody around her that she tried to talk to, they told her, well, you're crazy. You're nuts. Go see a shrink. And she told me about it. I said, no, you have the gift of discerning spirits. And so I began to mentor in that, and she became a valuable asset to this church because she could see the spirits, okay? But she thought she was crazy because no one could explain to her what the gift was. So now, why am I talking about this gift? Well, two reasons. One, because at least one person in this church has this gift and we need it in operation. Okay? The second reason I'm talking about it is because some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And that's already happening. So we need to be able to discern this, right? All right. Now, let's go, Stephen, go back to 1 Corinthians 12:10, please. The very first one. Let's really pick this verse apart. The word distinguishing here to another distinguishing between spirits, that word distinguishing there is translated from the Greek word diakrisis, which means discern, distinguish, passing judgment. The root of this word comes from the Greek word verb kerino, which means to judge. So the idea or concept of judging is very much in mind with this word. Here's what's interesting. This word, distinguishing, in the Greek, it's plural. So there's to be more than one distinguishing. Then the word translated as spirit in the Greek is the word pneuma, which simply means spirit. It's where we get English words like pneumatic and pneumonia. What is important to know here is that this word is also Greek, plural in the Greek. So there's more than one spirit being judged. There's more than one distinguishing, and there's more than one spirit. You got that? It's important to know here that what is being discerned are spirits. This is not simply the ability to discern or discernment in the natural realm. This is discerning of spirits, plural. This is the supernatural spiritual gift of discerning supernatural spirits. Nothing else. Now, many commentators want to make this simply about the ability to be a discerning and wise person. But it's about discerning spiritual beings. People who have this gift will see things in the spirit realm. And I'm going to show you some examples in a minute. On the negative side, when people can see things, they see things like spiders, rats, shadows, outright demons. They can just look and they can see a demon. On the positive side, they can see angels. Many years ago, we had a woman visit our church. First time visitor, she wasn't even a believer. She did not even believe in Jesus yet. She walked in and she pointed out where all the angels were. There was an angel outside the front door guarding the door. There were angels clashing on the ceiling up above us. She could see them plain as day, and she couldn't figure out why we couldn't see them. She wasn't even a believer, but she had this gift, and she could see the angels in the room. As part of this discerning of spirit beings, it sometimes is also the supernatural ability to tell when someone is lying, because there is such a thing as a deceiving spirit, right? Acts 5:3, Stephen. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" It's when Ananias and Sapphira sold their land. But there's nothing in the story to make it obvious to Peter that they were lying. So Peter was probably operating in this gift, which is why he's led to say, "Satan has so filled your heart." He could discern it and he could see it. Okay? First century church was a rough place to be because they were actually operating in the gift. They'd call you out when you weren't right. We need to get back to some of that. This gift often works very closely with other gifts, especially prophecy or words of knowledge, even healing. There can be a fine line between this gift and words of knowledge. Often, after a discernment, there can be words of knowledge about the Spirit or what the Spirit is up to. This gift can be used to judge and discern prophecy or words of knowledge. We see that in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Thessalonians 5. This gift can enable our other gifts. This gift can tell you the nature of a prophetic vision. This gift can also help you when you're praying for healing. You can look at a person and see that it's a demon causing their condition. This happens to me all the time. Someone says, "Hey, pray for my healing." I look at them and go, "There's a spirit there. We've got to deal with that first." Once we deal with the spirit, then the healing is already done, usually. All right, now I know what you're thinking. What does this look like? So I want to give you some biblical examples of what this gift looks like. Acts 16, Stephen. "Once when they're going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her." But now, wait a minute. On the surface, it appeared that this girl was legit. She was saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Remember when we looked at 1 John 4, it said, "You can tell when the spirit is from God because it agrees with Jesus Christ." Doesn't this sound like it agrees with Jesus Christ? They're telling you how to be saved. It sounds religious. It sounds right. But Paul had this gift, and so he turned around and said, "That's the spirit. Come out of her." He doesn't address the girl. He addressed the spirit and called it, and it left. So the spirit was there. This is what we need in the church. Why? because Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. This is a perfect example of Satan masquerading as an angel of light, saying, hey, these men are from God, they're telling you how to be saved. It sounds real religious, it sounds good, but it was a spirit. Now imagine this. Imagine if Paul had said, well, we don't need this gift, I'm not going to worry about it, and he let that girl go with that spirit in her, and then she gets into the church. Here's another example, Acts 13, Stephen. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teachings about the Lord. This one's slightly less definitive, but Paul seems to be able to see things that are more than just the physical realm. Saying something like, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right, seems to go beyond what he could have known in the natural realm. So he looks at this man and he sees the enemy. He sees the demon at work in this person's life. Here's another example. Acts 8, Stephen. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy this gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Verse 23 said, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. In the story, that's not apparent that he's full of bitterness, yet Peter called it out as the source of his sin. See how this gift can work when you see what the source of the sin is and you can call it out? So how did he discern it? How did he know? He says he could see it. Again, this gift, when you have this gift, you can see into the spirit realm, and you can see things like spirits, you can see bitterness, you can see other things like that on a person. This gift, you can not only see evil spirits, but you can also see what God is doing. There's a positive side to this gift. So I want to give you at least one positive example. Acts 14. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, stand up on your feet. And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Paul could see that God was at work in his life and had faith to be healed. He saw that he had faith. So this is that gift of discerning spirits on the positive side. I have had people to ask me to pray for healing, and I could discern that that wasn't going to happen because something else needed to happen first. Here's an interesting story from my most recent trip. I went to South Africa just a month ago. We were in a church on a Sunday morning, and we were praying for healing, and this man had come up to me. His name was Lucas, and he had a problem, a really bad problem with his neck. And I prayed for him maybe four or five times. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. And up to that point, every single person I had prayed for had gotten healed. So I prayed for him four or five times. Nothing happens. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need another plan. And I kind of looked out at the congregation. And I could see a woman sitting right in the front. And I could see faith all over. I'm like, come here. Come up here. So she comes up. I'm like, put your hand on this man's neck. Now tell this neck what you want it to do. She prayed and bam, he was instantly healed. Instantly healed. I prayed for him five times, nothing. But she had faith. She came up. He was instantly healed. But I could see it. Do you understand how the gift works? Now, what does this gift in operation look like in our day? I showed you some biblical examples. Well, a minute ago, I had mentioned that there's a woman in our church that had this gift. She initially thought that she was crazy, but I began to show her how this gift works and how to operate in it. Well, one Sunday morning, worship was happening. The team was up here doing their thing. I'm in the back where I'm always standing back there. But when worship is going right, you can feel worship lifting. You can just feel worship lifting toward the Lord, right? And that day, worship was just hanging like a thud. And I'm pacing around back. I'm like, what's wrong, Lord? What's wrong? And I'm not, I can tell that worship's not lifting, but I don't know why. Finally, this woman comes up to me. She says, Pastor, there's two demons standing in the corner by the water cooler. Because she could see them. She had that gift. She could see them. I trusted her. I walked over. I stood in the corner, and I pointed to the water cooler and said, get out in the name of Jesus. And immediately worship lifted. Like there was an immediate difference in the atmosphere. Because she had the gift, and she had the courage to say something. And I was willing to look like a fool and go command a water cooler to leave the room. Do you ever wonder why more supernatural activity isn't happening? This gift could be the key to unlocking that. If there's demons hanging out in the corner, we need to know that. There was a time once here in our church, we were having a late night prayer meeting. It was really, really late. It was 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Everybody that was gathered here, we all kind of gathered in the middle there, gathered here. They asked me to pray for them. So I went around the room and started praying for people. And I came to one woman, and before I could even think about what was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, there's a spirit of molestation on you. And she fell to the ground and began to manifest. So I prayed that spirit off of her. She was a completely different person after that. But I could see it. Before I could even think about it, there's a spirit of molestation on you. What would happen is a demon would come and molest her every night when she tried to sleep. But I could see it in that moment. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes this gift isn't rocket science, okay? Amy and I were in South Africa once, and this woman came up to us and asked us to pray for her because she said she had epilepsy. And she's going on and on and on and on and on and on about how she has epilepsy. Well, Amy could discern that it wasn't epilepsy. And so Amy just prays a provoking prayer, we call them. And the woman dropped to the floor and slithered like a snake under the whole row of chairs all the way to the end. Just slithering like a snake all the way out the row of chairs. And her husband was saying, I looked at her husband, I go, you know that's not epilepsy, right? That is not an epileptic seizure. That is a demon. It wasn't rocket science to see someone slithering on the floor like a snake and know that that's not in the natural realm. All right, so how do we walk in this gift? Give you some real practical stuff. If I see a spirit or I discern something is not from God, what do? The gift, just like all the rest of the gifts, never comes for our entertainment, okay? Man, that really bugs me in the church where people use spiritual gifts for entertainment or for profit. Like the one guy that tried to buy the gift of laying on his hands. God's power always comes with purpose. If you see something or discern something the Holy Spirit is alerting you to, here are some simple steps and context for what to do. First, if you see or discern something in the context of a church service, tell the pastor or tell an elder. If you're here in this house, tell me, tell Amy, tell James, okay? And I'll explain why in a minute. If you see something in the context of praying for someone in a group, tell the group leader. If you see or discern something in the context of praying for someone by yourself, begin to pray based on what you saw or discerned. But in that case, if you're just praying for someone one-on-one and you discern something, be very pastoral. Something, the Lord is showing this to me not to embarrass you, but to set you free. Okay? There's no embarrassment. There's no shame here. But the Lord is showing me such and such because he wants to set you free. Just be very pastoral as you lead into that. If you're praying for healing and you discern something, that may be the cause of the illness or the injury. Pray against that first and then return to praying for the healing. And the healing is probably already done at that point in time. Here's an example. Amy and I were praying for a woman. She had had a chronic illness for 35 years. Debilitating migraine headaches. She lost one day a week to not being able to get out of bed because of migraine headaches. We're praying for her, and we discerned it was a spirit, and I could name the spirit. I'm not even going to bring up the name today, but I could name what the spirit was, and I asked her if she could verify that. She said, I think I can. So she went, she talked to some family members, and they said, yes, you're right. Our ancestors were involved with that. So we broke off that spirit. We broke off that involvement, and she was instantly and forever healed of those migraine headaches. We never even prayed for the headaches. We just dealt with the spirit that was causing them. but we could discern that there was a spirit behind the headaches, all right? If you see or discern something in a public place, use that for intercession. Do not take on territorial spirits by yourself. What's a territorial spirit, you ask? I'm glad you did. Daniel 10:12, Stephen. You ask such good questions. Daniel 10:12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So Daniel prayed, and there was an answer. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael," that is the archangel, "one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." So Daniel prays, and God immediately answers his prayer by sending an angel. But the angel, an angel of God, is detained for 21 days by a prince of Persia, later called the king of Persia. That's a territorial spirit that is so powerful it can stop an angel of God, and it took Michael the archangel to overpower it. That's why we don't take on territorial spirits by ourselves, okay? If you want to learn more about that, there's a book called Needless Casualties of War by John Paul Jackson. But that territorial spirit was why Persia was such a perverse and pagan nation. Wait, what could that mean for our day? One of the best things you can do when you see or discern something is to ask the Lord, "What do you want me to do with this?" And again, if in the context of church setting, tell the pastor or an elder. Why? Demonic spirits always respond to authority. Think lines of command in the military. In the military, you never go outside your line of command, right? Everything is through a line of command. It's the same way in the demonic realm. And if you try to subvert that, it won't go well for you. So always tell something you see in the church to the pastor or the elder. Let me give you a biblical example. Acts 19:15. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Uh-oh, evil spirits can talk. Whoa, Nelly. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them all such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I'm here to tell you, I've seen this. I saw this happen in Senegal once. There was a woman, just a small statured woman. She was manifesting a demon. There were five or six young African men trying to hold her down, and she was just throwing them around the room like ragdolls. She would just throw them around the room like nothing. So Pastor George and I walked in, we're like, "Let her go, just let her be. You're not going to physically restrain her." And then George and I got her free. She had been involved with syncretism, and she was wearing amulets. So we got another woman to come in, remove the amulets from her, and then she was set free. But this is the idea of authority. Like this demon's like, "I recognize Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who are you?" In other words, "I don't see any authority on you," is what the demon is saying. But this also shows that evil spirits can talk and recognize people. They can also cause great physical harm. They beat these guys and they ran out of there bloody and naked. Now the people here in this Acts 19 passage were simply identified as some Jews. But the demons recognized their lack of authority. The fact that it identifies them as some Jews makes me wonder if they were even believers and they were just trying to replicate what they had seen the disciples doing. Now, here's a really, really practical example of this gift. Several years ago, Amy and I had gone to Arizona. Our intention was to go to the Grand Canyon. We flew into, Johannesburg. We flew into Phoenix, and normally when I fly somewhere, I go to Johannesburg first. We flew into Phoenix, and we're going to drive up to the Grand Canyon. Well, on the way there, you go to the town of Sedona. Now, Sedona is beautiful, but Sedona is the New Age capital of the world, like freakishly New Age, okay? So we were driving around Sedona one night, and we saw this shop that appeared to be a mix between antiques and Native American art. So we thought, okay, that'll be safe. We'll go in there. So I go in the shop, and almost immediately my knee starts killing me. I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, what's up with my knee?" And I'm limping around this store. I'm like, "Oh, gosh, my knee. We get to the back of the store, and then we see all this New Age stuff. And they go around another corner, and now there's a whole room full of Buddha. And all of a sudden, my back is, oh, my God, my back, my knee, oh, my God. I'm just in so much pain. I'm like, Amy, we got to get out. We got to get out now. I'm recognizing there's a spirit in this place, right? So as we start to leave, we go past the front counter where you check out, and they had healing crystals. I'm like, oh, so they make you sick, and then they sell you a healing crystal. Clever. Do you see how they're using spirits to torment you and to make you buy stuff? So Amy and I got out of the car. We got in the car, and we just prayed real quickly. Lord, we repent for going in that store. We don't believe any of what is in that store. We do not accept any of what we saw in that store. We believe in Jesus Christ. We repent for going in there, and all my pain immediately left. That's discerning spirits in a practical, real way. And if you're walking into a store where they're selling that kind of stuff, you're going to feel it in your physical body. And they're trying to sell you healing crystals. They're trying to rip you off. When you pray based on discernment, you often get immediate confirmation. When I prayed for the demon in the corner, the atmosphere in the church immediately changed. When I called out the spirit of molestation on the woman, she immediately began to manifest. When we broke off that spirit on the woman with the chronic illness of migraines, she was immediately healed of that chronic illness and hasn't had a headache since. It's been 5 years. The people who operate in this gift tend to face a lot more spiritual warfare. Again, this is probably because they can blow the lid off of what the enemy is doing, so the enemy fights back. There is also something tormenting about being able to see demons and see into the spirit realm. If you have this gift, get a personal prayer team in place. And if possible, get a mentor so that you don't think you're crazy that so many people do with this gift. It also takes a fair amount of courage to speak up and say what you're seeing. It's not easy to say, hey, I see a demon in the corner by the water cooler, right? I could be like, you're nuts. But I believed in her, and I believed in that gift. Now, again, not everyone's going to have this gift, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. But remember, from 1 John 4, he calls all of us to test the spirits. We are all called to do this, and the need is real. We can all take pause in any given situation and ask, God, is that you? If something seems off to you, it probably is. And then we can ask the Holy Spirit, is there another spirit here present with us? Tune into the Holy Spirit and let him lead you and show you what is happening in the spirit realm. And remember the words of 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And remember, spirits can talk and they can recognize you. There is a lot more witchcraft in our area than any of us are willing to admit. I wish I could share stories of witchcraft with you, but I'm over time, so I'll crash land there and move on. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me. This broken body of Jesus is what empowers our ability to see into the spirit realm and to see what the devil is doing to try to thwart the efforts of his church. Again, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. Whenever you drink of this, do so in remembrance of me. In the old days, the way that they atoned for sin is they would take the blood and they would put it on the altar or they'd put it on an animal. We just have to drink this and believe that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, atoning for all of our sins, washing us clean of all of this, and empowering us to do the acts and works that Jesus has called us to do. The way we do communion here is you'll take a piece of the bread and you'll dip it into the juice and receive them together, or we do have some little sealed containers where you can take one of those. You do not have to be a member of this church to take communion here. You just have to believe in what I just said. So the worship team will lead us into some ministry time here. And as you're ready, just come on up. You can come to the station or the station in the back there as well.